So the time of today's show, I got very nervous because they asked me to speak about the building of sukkah. I said, okay, great. And I said, I don't know how to build the perfect sukkah. I said, you've got to have a lot of guidance with it. Makes it give a share about that. On two levels, I'm afraid to throw. First of all, I don't say I know the sukkah perfectly. Number two, my forte is not building per se. So it almost reminds me of the famous joke about how a guy comes to the Rav. He built a beautiful, beautiful sukkah with Al Hidurim. He said he followed the Gemara exactly. He followed every line of the Rashi. He built a Balagalika sukkah, and the sukkah fell down. He read the one that was Tezis Kasha. Yeah. So we'll try to, I don't know if it'll be the perfect sukkah, but I'll try at least to highlight what I think are some of the, perhaps some pitfalls, some important things that a person should be aware of in order that the sukkah should be built in the proper manner. And so we'll try as best as we can to create some of the Hidurim, some of the things that one should try to be aware of in the course of the building of sukkah. When we speak about a sukkah, so although many of the halachas of sukkah revolve around the schach, most of the halachas revolve around the schach, the funnels, the walls, are important, and it's very often in the walls that many of the shaylas, the zmanas, actually come up. So the Gemara does tell us, the way we paskin in halacha, that walls could be pretty much made out of anything. So in terms of the material of the walls, we're not that concerned with. But the Gemara does say in the seventh parak of Masechet Sukkah that there is an important halacha concerning the walls of a sukkah. The walls of a sukkah have to be yechol olam abruch mitzuya. The wall has to be strong enough to be able to withstand a normal wind. And therefore, if you have a sukkah which is flying and flapping in the wind, so that becomes potentially problematic. The pashas in the Gemara is that mamash adin in HaTorah. The Gemara has adin in the Shabbos and other areas where the halacha speaks about mechitzos. That's the very definition, that's the shir, so to speak. That's the strength of a mechitza in order to be called a mechitza doifen in kol HaTorah kula. So that's to be a chol olam baruch mitzuya. Of course, it's this halacha that became the source of a discussion already in the Gemara and the Rishon and the Shach and the later post about what we usually call today canvas walls or other kinds of materials. When you have walls that flap in the wind, are those acceptable for the mitzvah of sukkah or not? So there is a machlekes Rishonim, how exactly to translate that phrase, Yechol Olam Baruch Mitzuya. So there are some Rishonim who translate Yechol Olam mean literally that's able to stand stationary in one place, and anytime the wall moves at all, that's no longer Yechol Olam. If we would take that approach, then we're asking for a potentially serious chumrah for many of the canvas sukkahs. But there's another approach in the Rishonim, that the approach is suggested by the Ritva, that Yechol Olam doesn't mean that it has to literally stand in one place. Well, Yechol Olam means that it's not going to fall down. Regular wind is not going to knock the wall totally out of commission. The fact that the wall is moving here and there a little bit, that doesn't concern us. As long as it's not so weak that a regular wind will come, a breeze will come and knock the whole thing down, so that's also considered to be Yechol Olam. If one takes that approach, if that's Yechol Olam, that would be significantly better for many of the canvas sukkahs. So many people, when they build the canvas sukkah, so they start to get nervous. It's a beautiful mitzvah deraisa of sukkah. We don't want to build that sukkah. It's just depending on what a machlekes rishonim, whether it meets the shiur of Yechol Olam. So we sometimes try to improvise. We try to do things a little bit better that maybe we can. We have canvas sukkahs. They're very easy to set up, very easy to start. So perhaps we could do certain things that can make those sukkahs kosher l'chol hadayos. So one very popular suggestion over the last several years to make the canvas sukkahs kosher l'chol hadayos is, in addition to the quote-unquote walls of the canvas itself, maybe we could make almost like a make-believe halachic wall as well. What kind of a make-believe halachic wall could we make? So the Gemara has sugyas in the first parak of Masechet Erevin, and many of them didn't carry over to sukkah. There's a halacha l'moshav sinai called lavud. Lavud means whenever you have any material where there's less than a 3 tefach break between the two materials, so we consider it to be connected to one another. So maybe we can do as follows. So you have on the side of the sukkah, so you have here's your canvas that's flying in the wind. In addition to your canvas, here you have your metal poles that are holding up the canvas. So you take a piece of string, then you tie a string very, very tight around one pole, go around to the other pole, and the string is so tight, the string is not really moving. If it's tight enough, it's not going to be moving in the wind. If that string is less than 3 tevachim off of the ground, so then we view it as if this whole area is closed up. It's as if there's a little like a piece of wood there. That counts at least for part of the way. Then you have to do another one, a little bit less than 3 tevachim, just shy of 3 tevachim, another string. And then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, you do your math. You have to get to the magic number of 10 tevachim. As long as you have a shear of a dofin, a mechitza of 10 tvachim, so then that sukkah is perfectly acceptable. Even though the schach is not actually resting on that mechitza, let's say your real sukkah, your literal wall, your canvas wall, your poles are going all the way up another 5 feet, and the schach is all the way up here, but as long as it's directly above where your mechitza is, that's acceptable. And according to most poskim, the Shulchan Aruch poskims, even if it's not literally directly above, as long as it's within 3 tvachim of being directly above. So let's say, for argument's sake, if this would be a wall of a sukkah, and I have my schach beginning over here, so as long as I can draw an imaginary line up, and then I'm within 3 tvachim of hitting where the schach is, so the Shulchan Aruch poskims, that is okay as well. There are some who question that, but in the Ikar Din we pass, even that's okay. But for sure, if the schach goes over the wall, it would for sure be all right. So over here, those who want to make these lines, want to make these strings, to give themselves a little bit of a strength to the mechitza, so that they're not really technically relying on the canvas, so that would be a probably an added benefit.
Here, wouldn't it not matter to have the three tvachim away from the top, because you have good aspect, and then your eyes would go up from the...
Yeah, you don't need 3 tvachim away. Well, what do you mean 3 tvachim? You have to get to 10 tvachim first. So you need a couple of strings to get to the point of 10 tvachim. Once you're 10 tvachim, then that imaginary mechitza now goes all the way up to Shemayim. So either if it literally bumps into the schach, or if it bumps within 3 tvachim of the schach, that's also okay.
But isn't there a hitter also to have your eyes go up to the schach, which Gemara says?
To have your eyes go up? That's when you have a sukkah more than 20 amos tall, that's a whole shout of bathing instead of sukkah. If a regular sukkah, then it's perfectly okay to rely on that. Okay, so again, so these, let's just try to go through some of the, what are the eights are, and we'll take some questions a little bit later on. So this is a very, very common suggestion a lot of people do. Once you just be careful, if you're doing this, you have to make sure that you get your strings in within 3 tvachim. 3 tvachim are different opinions, exactly how much 3 tvachim are, different opinions exactly how much a tefach is. The tefach is anywhere from 3 inches to 4 inches, so you do your math, how many strings you need, how much room you need in order to reach the point of 10 tefachim. So this is a pretty standard procedure these days. How many walls would you have to do this stunt on? So everybody knows the first Mishnah Masechta Sukkah says that a sukkah only needs 3 walls. So l'chora, you would only have to do it around 3 walls. Who cares whether the fourth wall is canvas? You don't even need a fourth wall altogether. So that's what I would have said. And that's probably what the Ikar HaDin is that even the machmirim who don't like the canvas, who want you to have these kinds of strings, would suffice having it around 3 walls. However, there is a Tosfos that Magen Avraham quotes in the Pasuk, it's questionable whether we hold like this, that says that, B'medva Mamurim, when do we say that 3 walls in a sukkah are good enough? That's only if they're 3 real walls. But if they're 3 quote-unquote imaginary walls, the 3 multiple walls, then maybe you require a fourth wall on the sukkah. So if that's true, some kind of a chumra for some strange reason, I'm not exactly sure why, if that would be true, then one would have to have a string around the fourth wall as well. Now that can become a little bit technically problematic, because if you have strings around all 4 walls, so it's going to be great, except when you have to try to get in and out of the sukkah. So you have to climb, jump over the walls, or kind of sneak with the gediyam underneath the strings. So the answer is, those who want to follow that chumrah, so I would not recommend to have strings along the entire fourth wall, but you could perhaps have strings along part of the fourth wall, because even according to those who say you need a fourth wall, it doesn't have to be an entire fourth wall. The shear of a wall of a sukkah in terms of length is only 7 tvachim. So in theory, if you have strings around 3 walls and a little bit along the fourth wall, 7 tvachim into the fourth wall, that's the equivalent of having mamish 4 walls. Sometimes it's not practical to put strings around there because you have to have something else to hold up the string. So sometimes people like this chumrah, people who heard of this chumrah, want to follow this chumrah, and having something, these are the machmirim on the machmirim, those who don't want to rely on the canvas, and they don't want to rely on 3 walls of strings, so they want to put something in that fourth wall, so they'll stick a board there, they'll stick a barbecue grill, they'll stick a chair or something, you can think of anything that you can think of to go 7 tvachim long. But again, this is already a little bit of a chumrah, gabi chumrah. So again, me'ika 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 din, we paskin, like those we shan who hold that the canvas walls are good the way they are. We cannot pass on people's canvas sukkahs. Can't tell people that the sukkahs are no good. So me'ikra, then we pass in that the sukkahs are probably good the way they are. But yes, it's ace. Those who want to fulfill sukkah according to the Rishon will disagree with that, would prefer having the strings. If you're already doing the strings, it's better to make the strings on all 4 sides. If you can't do it on all 4 sides, at least on 3 sides, me'ikra, then would be good even for the Bachmi. So this dilemma of how to turn a canvas sukkah into a regular sukkah was one of the dilemmas that hit me on my very first sukkah out in California. So my wife is from California, and we got engaged on Chol HaMoed sukkah. So I came out for spend Chol HaMoed with my in-laws to be, only to come to the my father-in-law was ready moichel. He's heard me say the shir about 30 times, so he's moichel and is covered already about the story. So he may pop it up for the shir. Now we'll say never know. So I walk into my in-laws' the sukkah. The Chol HaMoed sukkah is all ready to get engaged, and I notice that's a canvas sukkah. Okay, look, you know, can I eat your dad? I'm not going to say it's no good, you know. Not a good way to start off. So, okay, we're okay now, we'll worry about it next year. Okay, fine. So, the way it was. When I knew I was going back the next year, I was already married, so I had a little bit more leeway in the family. So, I figured, you know what, let me see what I can do, touch this up a little bit. The wheels started turning, we'll get the strings rolling, the gartos, you know, the whole nine yards. But then I realized, you know what? It's not so bad. I don't even have to do that. I'll tell you why. Because it's hard for me to draw. I'm not so good at building. I'm even worse at drawing. But try to bear with me a little bit. The sukkah was actually on two sides. Two walls of the sukkah was against the walls of the house. So when it's against the wall of the house, so I don't need the canvas. The canvas is there for nice, looks pretty. But technically, the walls of the house are already two walls of the sukkah. So I'm already two-thirds of the way there. So I don't even need strings on those sides. But a little bit of a problem. The problem was that the walls of the canvas weren't quite at the house because there was a ledge protruding around the window, you know, a ledge protruding from those walls. So definitely you can envision it. Let's say if this was these are the two walls of the house, there was a ledge coming out over here, a ledge coming out over here, and the sukkah started about over here. But that was good news. You know why that was good news? Because the ledge is technically, it was less than Dalat Amos. So the ledge is Posel Skach. It's concrete, it's wood, it's connected to the ground. A million things wrong with the ledge, it's not Kosher Skach. But there happens to be the good luck in California that there's a Halacha Moshe. Halacha Moshe is not only true in California, the world. There's a Halacha Moshe in the Sinai called Dofen Akuma. When you have Skach Posel that's within Dalat Amos of a wall, so the Halacha treats it as being part of the wall. It's normally, if you have schach posel, a significant amount of schach posel, that disqualifies the entire sukkah. But if it happens to be flush against the wall, you have up until Dalat Amos, you can just ignore it and just make believe it as if it's part of the wall. So that halacha Moshe Mesina was really, really helpful because that enabled me to still salvage these two walls. So I still had a solid wall, a ledge over here, no one's sitting on the ledge anyway, a canvas that just make believe doesn't exist, and now my bamboo, my schach, begins at that point. But it's still within Dalat Amos from the walls, everything is great. Baruch Hashem, I'm two out of three. But I needed a third wall of the sukkah. So I'm starting to think, what can I do for the third wall of the sukkah? So I don't have to start poshkering around, playing around with strings. All I need is a small piece of material that's 7 tefachim long, 10 tefachim tall, and 7 tefachim long. And I stick it in against one of the walls against the canvas, against the poles. And show my Israel. So I found myself a board that was a little more than 10 tefachim tall, a little more than 7 tefachim wide, and I took a couple of bricks and supported it in place, and that became the third wall of the sukkah. So we had this lopsided sukkah, and we had a beautiful canvas sukkah, but down the halacha that does canvas. Canvas didn't exist up here, break this up. What I had one wall of the house with a dofen akuma, another wall of the house with another dofen akuma. Over here, I had a 7 tefachim by 10 tefachim board, and now some of you are wondering, wait, but how can I eat all the way over here? So the answer is that's another din, that's called psal hayotzim in a sukkah. The din is that as long as you have a setup of a sukkah, so if I have a sukkah with three walls, it looks something like this. And I want to eat over here, that's perfectly okay. Because even though there's no third wall connected me, but the schach is still following the longer of the two walls, so that's perfectly good, l'chatchilo, the Gemara says. So that's exactly what we had. So we had one sukkah over here with a combination of dofen akuma, one wall over here with a combination of dofen akuma, one 7 by 10 board over here, the entire length of the sukkah is kosher, and short, and that's it. So all it needed was, it didn't need no strings, no garter, it might need one little tiny board just to be maximum. So sometimes you can lose some creativity if you're interested in trying to touch up some of these issues. And the ikimigra, then the sukkah was kosher the way it is, because the canvas is good. According to those Rishonim, there are many Rishonim who disagree. So one could just use a little bit of, different ideas of Hilchos Sukkah, put them to a couple things together, and come up with some interesting solutions. There is another common issue that comes up in building a sukkah, and that touches a little bit more related to the schach. So know that most of the dinim of sukkah revolve around the schach. There are certain halacha Moshe Mesinai and Torah Shabbat that tells us that the schach has to meet certain criteria in order for it to be kosher. So one of the dinim of schach is that it has to be something which grows in the ground, obvious. It has to be something that is not makabel tuma. Anything that's makabel tuma is automatically considered to be a problem. So it's based on this idea that something that's makabel tuma becomes a problem, that the Mishnah in the end of the first breath of the Sefer Sukkah raises the following shaila. What if you have something that based on the regular rules of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, shouldn't be subject to tuma? Why is that? It happens to be a kli eitz, it's a wooden utensil. Although the Torah does speak about kli eitz being makabel tuma, but the Torah Shabbat tells us that only a kli eitz, which has a base kibble, which has a receptacle to it, is makabel tuma. If it's not the base kibble, if it's what we call pshuta kli eitz, so pshuta kli eitz and not makabel tuma. So comes the Gemara of Mishnah and says, there's one exception to that rule. Sometimes you can have a situation where even pshuta kli eitz and makabel tuma, if it's something which is made to sit on, something that's made to lay on, to support yourself on, then it's makabel tumas zav, it's makabel tumas mishka v'moishav, and even though it's otherwise has no base kibble to it, it's problematic. It's with this background that the Mishnah speaks about. If you take a lot of pieces of wood and you make them all together, sew them together, and you make a mat, and people sleep on that mat, the rest on that mat, you sit on that mat, and then you decide to take the mat and throw it on top of your sukkah for schach. So even though it's technically pshutikli hate, so I would have thought it's not makabel tuma. No, it is makabel tuma. It's makabel tuma smedris, makabel tuma zav. And therefore, that would be a problem for the purposes of sukkah. There's a little bit of a question whether that's a psul derais or a psul derabanan, because it's 99% not really makabel tuma. It's only makabel certain kind of tuma, but la halacha, sure, it's a problem. It's probably a problem derais, and there may be a nuance that it may only be a problem with derabanan. But whatever it is, it's for sure going to be a problem. So the Mishnah says, so when would we say that a mat would be a problem? When would we say a mat wouldn't be a problem? So the Mishnah says, it depends. If it was made for the purposes of shechiva, it's a problem. If it was made for fencing for other reasons, then it would not be a problem. How do you know which is which? So there's all to know. You got to figure out. You got to do your research and figure out whether a particular mat was made for one purpose or for another purpose. So this was raised a whole serious question years ago when they started making mats. You know, in the olden days, nobody, except in the days of the Mishnah, for the last couple hundred years, nobody was making mats for sukkah. The old tzach was branches. I remember when the first year we had Bechu at a sukkah, my grandmother walked into the sukkah and she asked where the schach was. She said, that's the schach. She said, she never heard of such a silly thing. She said, she grew up in Europe. She said, who heard schach that was in green? Branches with leaves. Bamboo is perfectly okay. Bamboo by itself. Bamboo poles is kosh lechatchila shel lechatchila. It's a wood. Kibble, nothing. Even if once in a while some of the bamboo cracks a little bit, it develops a little bit of a kibble, a little bit of water collects in it, that's called the Eino Osir LeKabbalah. It means it wasn't made for the purpose of base kibble. Unless you specifically broke your bamboo to fill it up with water, to spritz at somebody, that becomes a base kibble. But if it just happens by itself, you really couldn't care less about it, that's not called a base kibble. But the question becomes, if you start to take a lot of bamboo and you sew it together and make a mat, so is that a problem or not? So it depends on the metzias. So if it's made for shechiva, it's a problem. If it's not made for shechiva, then it's not a problem. So it's usually assumed today that the mats that are made, even though they're made very, very far away from here, that they're made with the express intent that they shouldn't be for shechiva. There are rabbanim who supposedly go out to some of these far-flung places and instruct the people who are pressing the buttons that, at least that's what they tell you on the shkafanet. Somebody's telling somebody along the way that nobody should think that they're going to sleep on these mats. These mats are being made specifically for the Jews in Barapak to put on their sukkahs. Nobody should dream of sleeping on these mats. They're not being made for the purpose of shechiva. So that's what the minhag of the Mishnah says today, that that's probably it.
But isn't bamboo more like grass? It's not really wood.
So the Rambam holds that it's machlekes rishonim. When we say wood, it's wood dafka wood or anything that grows in the ground is also, the Rambam is also considered to be potential creates.
I should think most of it is made in the kavod of stamp, not for this and not for that.
Right, so that's what some poskim say, that whenever you have a customer, so it could be that the customer is kaveh what the Torah is. If I'm making my own math, then I probably don't want to make a problem. I'm pressing a button in China, I'm not doing any of these math, whatever the customer pays me for. So they quote the new business, it all depends on the customer. So the big argument is to be pretty make-or. Although the truth is that there were some who raised the red flag about math years ago. There were some who weren't so excited about math because of this concern. They weren't 100% certain it was actually being not the Shiva. But again, the thing has become to be very limited.
So we're not being concerned about what the math are behind.
Yeah, we had that.
You change your mind in the middle of the sukkah and decide that what if the sukkah is, you're going to take it down and sleep on it.
That's a big problem.
So you have to be in.
I think now it's both people thinking like that.
But I'm saying, but
that's what you're
a lot of these things, it depends on your later mental
attitude.
You change
your mind and you start to call it Caleb Yoga when they do the Rav Shalom. But if you plan on using it for math,
Kiyut on mind.
Okay. So there was another issue that was just raised, which is not really a mad issue. It comes up in the mass, but it's really more of a general schach issue. When we speak about the halach that govern the kashrus of schach, so we're talking about the schach proper. What about something that's not schach itself? What if it's something that's holding up the schach? So that's what's called ma'amid. So this is already a machlikas of tanoim, machlikas of maroim. What's the din if my schach itself is kosher? But I have something that's holding the schach, a place that's supporting the schach, and that happens to be possible. So what's called the ma'amid b'davar makabel tuma. Is that a concern? Is that issue? Is that something that we should be worried about? It would be ma'amid b'davar makabel tuma. So the Muslim machlekes etanah, machlekes emarah, machlekes rishayim, machlekes shukhara, and a long machlekes about this. And the question is, how do we paskin in halacha? So we assume the halacha mikra din, the ma'amid is not a problem. That's the Mishnah Berurah paskin, the mikra din, the ma'amid is not really a problem, but not everybody agreed to it. So therefore, the chetchil and the Mishnah Berurah and early poskim already recommend we should try to avoid ma'amid if we can. So again, you can't pass a sukkah which has ma'amid. But even if you have literally a schach sitting on top of a piece of metal, you can't say the sukkah is possible. With meikra, then we paskin that it's all right. But in deference to those who disagreed, so we try the chetchil to avoid the ma'amid. How much of a problem is ma'amid? If you're not serious, is ma'amid a problem according to the machmirim? So there is a further machlekes in Rishonim. Assuming ma'amid is a problem, which again, we don't really pass it, but assuming ma'amid is a problem, is it a problem in HaTorah, or is it only a problem in the Rabbanim? So many Rishonim say that even according to the biggest machmirim, it's only a problem in the Rabbanim, because why should ma'amid be a problem? I have kosher schach, 99% of my schach is kosher, my nafkamina what's holding the schach up. So some of the Rishonim write, the Ran writes, it's a gazeri, you may come to use the ma'amid. We're afraid if you have a metal pole sitting up there with your bamboo, that's supporting your bamboo, next year you'll throw off the bamboo and you just use the poles. To gezeirah midrabbanan up to using the ma'amid as chach proper. So if that's the whole reason for ma'amid, that it's only a chumra gezeirah midrabbanan, so that would put it into significantly less concern for us, since we don't really accept it anyway. So it's a chumra biyama midrabbanan. We're not going to lose too much sleep over that. But there are other rishonim. Rashi seems to say that it's a chashash midaraisa, that whenever X is holding up Y, X is necessary to hold up Y, so X and Y merge to become one. So it's considered to be being mesachech, the whole schach is considered to be like a davar makabel tuma. So that would put in more of a concern in our minds for the psul of ma'amid. Again, the ikra din we paskin ma'amid is not a problem, but according to the machmirim, are we dealing with only a derabbanan or even a chashash deraisa? That's a little bit unclear. The minhag olam usually is to avoid ma'amid problems is based on a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes that b'medim ramamur ma'amid is a problem. That's only if it's a direct ma'amid. But if it's an indirect, the kershed is a grammar. If it's an indirect ma'amid, so then it would be okay. So what would that mean practically? So the Magen Avraham writes, that's what most people do, is that rather than putting the schach directly onto the metal, so they put a piece of wood or something on top of the metal, and they rest the schach on top of that wood. So since the wood itself is mikra din kosher for schach, so the schach, the bamboo, is not really sitting on the metal. It's not really being humad either the metal. It's recording the phrase called ma'amid de ma'amid. And the Rambam seems to say that would be okay, even according to the machmir. So the Chazanish held that was not correct. The Chazanish held that there is no such principle of ma'amid de ma'amid. The Rishonim that the Rambam were quoting was saying something a little bit different. There is no such principle called ma'amid de ma'amid. The Chazanish is the biggest machmir. He says that if you hold ma'amid as a problem, then even ma'amid 100 times over is a problem. That's the bad news. But the good news is, says the Chazanish, that we don't really paskin ma'amid as a problem. We paskin mikra din, it's really not a problem altogether. So the Chazanish is the chumra and a kula. A lot of people quote the chumra than the Chazanish. They say the Chazanish is the biggest machmir ma'amid. It's true. And in the same breath, he was the biggest Michael in Mavi, because he turned around and said that we don't pass like the whole story. So again, there are different standards in terms of how serious we take Mavi. There are some who just not curious the whole thing. They don't care about Mavi, they put their chach directly on the metal and show it. You can't say it's wrong. The evidence of would be kosher. Then there are those who are super duper machmer. They took the chumras of the chaznish, but didn't take the kulas of the chaznish. Namely, what the chaznish himself recommends the chatchila to do is that you shouldn't have any ma'amid whatsoever. So, according to the chaznish, you basically can't have any metal in the sukkah. You can't have anything that's holding up anything. So, if you have a board that has a nail, something or other, so the nail's holding up the board, and the board's holding up the chach, so that's a ma'amid, that's a problem. Again, the chatchila. So, according to the biggest machmirim, you wouldn't have any metal in the sukkah whatsoever. That would be the super duper chumra. Then you have the middle ground, which is probably 95% of us, that we try the chetchila not to put the srach directly onto the metal, but if it rests on wood, that in turn is resting on metal, so we don't lose too much sleep over that. So that's pretty much the way most of us are unknowing today. But again, there are svaras lakan lakan. Another very important halacha about the schach is that the halacha is that the schach has to be tolosh min hakarka. It has to be something which is gedula min hakarka. It has to be something that grew in the ground, but right now it has to be tolosh min hakarka. If the schach is still connected to the ground, so then it's no good, and that's a whole sugya in Masechah Sukkah about the person who makes the sukkah tachas ha'ilon. So that's a serious problem. Sukkah tachas ha'ilon is probably the biggest problem that could disqualify sukkah. So everything else we've been talking about up until now, you can find your kulas, you know, it's Rishon hold that the sukkahs can move a little bit, and the ma'amah and the rabbanan, and the mats probably were made, not the shechiva, you can find your kulas for everything. But unfortunately, especially if people live in the suburbs, a lot of trees, nice place, but you have these sukkahs that mamash, the entire sukkah is sitting literally under a tree. That's a problem. That's interesting. The Mishnah says that that's going to be a problem. So one really should be careful about this. One should really, really try hard to make sure to remove, I don't know about in other communities, but I know in Tinef, our tree guys, they know exactly when something is coming. The guys, the non-Jews, they know exactly what they got to cut down. Alashitas, alachumras, they just tell them, you know, cut down the trees. They got the whole thing down bad. So one should try to be careful to cut down the tree. Every once in a while, you have a little bit of a branch here and there protruding over. That's not the end of the world. You try not to sit under that particular part of the sukkah, but the problem is it's very, very hard to tell when something is directly under. Even in actual sukkah, so yesterday, I'm standing like this, and I'm like this, and I'm like this, and I'm trying to figure out whether one whole corner may be under the tree. So you have two choices. Either you cut down the tree, or you put something in the corner that people don't sit in that particular part of the sukkah. So one should really try to be careful that the bulk of the sukkah, at least the part that you're sitting in, really should be clear.
That's wrong. Rob,
the
schach is not under the tree.
Whatever's under the tree is like schach posel, so you got to start to make. You got to stick case. You got to start making. Yeah, but you can end up with no sukkah left if you start.
Exactly. Right. Okay.
Yeah, you have to be careful. Right. It's better to try to get the tree cut down. That's the better way to do.
Is it okay to cut down some branches of fruit tree?
It's a fruit tree. Mikra din, if the fruit tree is causing you more aggravation than it's causing you a benefit. If the fruit tree is not producing well enough fruit, that's something you have one more time. It's a bear in the net and it's getting in the way, so the Mikra din that's not called Batashas. The Mikra din that would be mutter. There are those who have a practice, a little more picavola, they won't cut down the tree themselves. Whatever reason.
For sure.
So they do that, they should do that.
So for sure, if it's a fruit tree that doesn't produce apple fruit, like a crab apple tree.
Yeah, if it's in the way, bothering you, so you shouldn't be the one to cut down the tree. You should have a going. There's some more mock with to sell the tree to a guy that's pushing up like the head of the tree. Well, actually, they can't. That's really a little bit, you don't have to do. But if you see yourself, should be the one cutting down.
If the overlying branch is less than dollar almost from the wall.
Yeah, so we're going to talk a little bit. We're talking about false. We're going to try to relate that to this. So let's assume that I built my sukkah with kosher walls and I built my sukkah with kosher sach. I'm just gevaldik. But then a couple of things happen during the course of my building, during the course of Yontif, that could potentially throw things off. So one of those halachas we've touched on a little bit, let's try to elaborate a little bit more on what's called the schach posel. What is the din if included in my schach kosher, a lot of schach kosher in there, but I have some schach posel also. So how does schach posel relate to the rest? How does that, what damage can the schach posel do that can potentially affect the rest of the sukkah? So here the Gemara tells us as follows, that if I have a sukkah going over here. I guess we'll call this the bird's eye view of the sukkah. So I have,
probably the green would be more
the kosher,
my grandmother said, okay?
So here I have a green, and loads and loads and loads and loads of green, green, and I have some schach fossil right smack, that's a metal rod or something, right smack in the middle. So how does this affect the schach kosher? The Gemara says that the halacha is as follows. They're putting aside against the walls for a second, right? That's called the emtza. It's in the middle of the sukkah, so it depends how wide the schach posel is. So if the schach posel is four tefachim wide, four tefachim is already ashia choshev, it's already a significant amount to it. So if you have a width of schach posel that's more than four tefachim, so that breaks up the tzir of schach. So it means we can no longer say that there's any connection between this schach and this schach, because there's such a big barrier in between. If it's less than four tefachim barrier, it's not a kodesh kamad leis. It's not a shir makom chashuv, so forget about it. But if it's more than four tefachim, that breaks up the tziruf. What is the significance of breaking up the tziruf? So basically, it means as follows: I take an eraser and I now erase the whole middle. Imagination, I erase the whole middle of the sukkah. So what is the significance of erasing the middle of the sukkah? Well, depending on what the sukkah looked like in the first place. If I had a four-wall sukkah to begin with, so I erased all the area in the middle, it's a big deal. So I'm left with two sukkahs, each one. Does a three-wall sukkah? There's a three-wall sukkah. So everything's gevaldic, everything's wonderful. But, I mean, I can't sit under the schach pasuk, because this is just not schach, but I'm okay over here, I'm okay over here. Problem is, what if my sukkah was only three walls to begin with, I never had this fourth wall, and now I have schach posel in the middle. If I have the schach posel in the middle, breaks up the continuity. So what do I do with that piece of information? Well, now I got a big problem, because now I only have two walls with schach kosher and two walls with schach kosher. So I have two posel sukkahs in front of me. So that's going to be a problem. Schach posel to the width of four tefachim is going to pose a problem. It's going to break up the tzir, the continuity of the sukkah. If and when that's going to disqualify the sukkah, it's going to depend on how many walls you started out with. What if it's less than four tefachim? So if it's less than four tefachim, then you're the fairish, then it doesn't do any damage. Less than four tefachim, then you're home free. What does that mean, you're home free, if it's less than four tefachim? So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, is that if it's less than four tefachim, it's mamish kaman d'leisa, it doesn't exist. And if it doesn't exist, you can even sit under it. Even though I'm looking straight up at a big piece of metal, it's a metal slab right off my head, but I measure it and it's 3.999 tefachim. I can sit under the sukkah, I can eat my kazayis the first night, but the rice, there's no shahs whatsoever. It's less than four tefachim, I totally completely ignore it. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there are other Rishonim who disagree with it. Other folks can say no. If it's less than four tefachim, that means it doesn't break up the continuity, but you can't sit under it. You can't sit under that as long as it's more than three tefachim. If it's more than three tefachim, that's already, I can't say love it anymore, that's already not quite a shiach hashav, but it's almost a shiach hashav. It's three quarters of the way to shiach hashav, and that will prevent you from sitting under that sukkah. So according to that second group of poskim, the sukkah is technically kosher. This is just 3.5 tefachim of schach posel. So I could sit over here, but I wouldn't be able to sit over here. So again, if it's more than four tefachim, then it must be favored, it breaks up the continuity, and done, finished, and it's over. Passes the entire sukkah. If it's less than four tefachim, it for sure does not passel the entire sukkah. But, according to some Rishonim, it creates a scenario where you can't sit under it, even though the sukkah is kosher. If it's less than three tefachim, then for sure it's okay. So every once in a while, we have some things floating around the top of the sukkah, metal, all kind of vices, all kind of stuff. But it's very, very rarely more than three tefachim. So you can sit there like a tchila. It doesn't, you know, have to start looking and measuring and moving your head around. As long as it's not more three tefachim, that's a big, big piece of metal. So that wouldn't, that if a wire or something hanging over your sukkah, big deal. It's less than three tefachim wide. You could sit under that. That's good lecholadei. So get more than four tefachim possible for sukkah, potentially breaks up the continuity. Between three and four is a machlekes and rishonim, whether you can sit under it. Under three, it's more tefachim lechet tchila.
What if you have a branch, like a single branch that's less than three tefachim that's going over your sukkah?
What's something?
So it's not possible. That branch?
So it's not possible then? Yeah, you can sit under it. Less than three tefachim more. Okay. However, these shiurim, in terms of schach posel, the Gemara says, all the shiurim are only be'emtza. This whole halacha only applies if it's in the middle of the stock. Going back to what we said a little bit earlier, what if it's against the wall? So if it's against the wall, then there's a whole different halacha. Then there's halacha Moshe Mesinai called dofen akuma. So dofen akuma means that you can have schach puzzle. Over here, you can have a lot of schach puzzle against one of the walls of the sukkah. Way more than four tvachim. Up to 3.9 amos. Amos is significantly more than tvachim. And the schach kosher only begins over here. The Gemara says that's perfect. Okay, so the Ferish Mishnah, let's say you have a walls of your house, and you punch in the ceiling of the walls of your house, and you throw some schach in the middle. The Gemara says, as long as you have less than balat amos, from where the schach starts, where the walls of the house start, as long as that whole area is filled up with schach posel, if that's a special halacha Moshe Mizine, that's okay. However, the Mishnah says, ein yishayim tachtav. There, everybody agrees you can't sit under the dofen akuma. That's for sure no good. Whether you think you could sit under schach posel of 3 to 4 tvachim in the middle is subject to a debate. But under, if you have more than, if you have enough schach posel, you have to come under dofen akuma, so then you for sure can't sit under it. Why can't you sit under it? Because the whole halacha moshtin of dofen akuma is that it's as if the wall is bent. So you're sitting under a wall. You're not sitting under schach. If I'm looking up and I see 3.5 feet of schach posel on top of me, so the sukkah is okay. You got to move over a little bit. You can't sit under the anything that's invoking the principle of dofen akuma would be out of the question. So again, so the basic din of schach posel are such. You have to ask yourself: is the schach posel be'emtza? Is it what we call minatzad against the wall? How much is it? And then you have to ask yourself: assuming that's not possible, the sukkah, can I still sit under that particular piece?
The sukkah is small. You don't have to calculate.
Right. You have to end up with no. Then you have to end up with still 7 tefachim. Okay. So all of these halachas were only referring to schach posel. One of the dinim, if you have avir, if you have airspace, so then the dinim are totally different. So then the Mishnah, right at the end of the second, the first parak of Sukkah tells us, then the shirim are totally different. The din is as follows: if you have, so you have a lot of schach, posel schach here. You got a lot of green, a lot of green over here, a lot of green over here, and you have a little bit of an airspace in between where there's nothing there. No schach posel, there's not nothing there, so then it depends. If it's less than 3 tvachim, so then we can ignore it. We can say that it doesn't break up the tzira, so the sukkah remains the kashrusa. If it's more than 3 tvachim, that breaks up the continuity of the sukkah. Now again, going back to what we said before, breaking up the continuity of the sukkah may be really bad, it may not be so bad, depending on whether you started out with a 4-wall sukkah or a 3-wall sukkah. But if you have an airspace of 3 tvachim, so that automatically breaks up the continuity. But here, airspace becomes significantly more chomer than tzach posel, because the Gemara says that if you have airspace that's less than 3 tvachim, although it doesn't disqualify the rest of the sukkah, ein yishayim tachtav. You're not allowed to sit under that airspace. So here it's only 2.9 tvachim. So Baruch Hashem, I measured my chazan ish ruler. Baruch Hashem, I made it. The sukkah is still kosher. That means it's kosher. I can sit over here, but it's possible I can't sit in the middle. So that's going to be a problem. And the Pasha says that's a din min haTorah, that's not considered to be under schach. So that's a problem. How much airspace is going to be a problem? So the Rabbah quotes from the Rishonim that it is absurd to say that a small crack is going to disqualify. You can't sit under it. Came the chasukah. I'm going to be cautious. Every sukkah has cracks in it. Every sukkah has holes, has airspace in it. You're not supposed to have this chach so compact. So of course you're going to have some air spaces. So the Rambam writes that only one or two things happen could be called enough of an avir to prevent you from sitting under that avir. So he says the avir is big enough. You could stick your head in. You could poke his head through the avir. That's already a problem. That's usually not too likely. Or if the avir is holech apnei kol hasukkah. If the avir goes, if the airspace goes along the entire length of the sukkah, even though it's fairly narrow, that could potentially be a problem. So it's because of this that some have a chumrah that they throw a couple of schach in the other direction. So if you take a couple, one or two poles, and you throw in the other direction, so then you never have an avir holech apnei kol hasukkah. So sure, so that's those who want to be machver for that chashash and maybe avra apnei kol hasukkah. So that's a good eitzah. I'm not saying you're mamish mechuyav to do that. But I always want to do that, so that's the source of that practice.
Either one,
either one of those is going to be a problem. Either one is going to be a problem. Okay, so again, so we have the dinim of schach posel, and schach posel depends on whether it's be'emtza or minatzad. You have the dinim of avir that a little bit more machmir. The shear is a little bit smaller, three rather than four. And there's an added component, an added problem that you can't sit under it as well. There's another chumra of avir. Avir doesn't subject itself to the heter of dofer akuma. Dofer akuma is not going to help you in terms of avir. Avir works on its own rules. But again, it's only considered to be an avir if it's at least a significant avir, i.e. a holich aprei kol hasukah. So usually, let me just professional more. We'll take some time for questions. Usually, when we speak about the schach posel, so we conjure up these images of guys got metal beams on top. He's got all kind of stuff. This terrible stuff on top of the sukkah. There, one could potentially make a beautiful, beautiful sukkah with a lot of decorations and create himself a big problem. A schach posel with a lot of decorations, most of the decorations on top. The schach posel they're made of plastic, they're made of food, whatever they're made of, are not things that are generally kosher for sukkah. So you can end up throwing in a lot of schach posel, and all of a sudden you have chashashas in your sukkah. So it's for this reason that Polskim recommend, what the Gemara says in the first Brech of Masechet Sukkah, that whenever you put up decorations to the sukkah, you should always make sure that the decorations halachically are considered to be like batel to the schach. So how do you do that? So the Gemara says that as long as the decorations don't come down more than four tvachim away from the schach, so we just view them as blending into the schach itself. Since they're done lenoi, they're done to beautify the sukkah, they become batel, they become tafel to the schach itself. So that's always a good idea. Whenever you hang up your fruit, you hang up your potty streamers, whatever you're holding, hanging up from the schach, so you should try to measure it that it doesn't come down to more than four tvachim. The smallest shear for four tvachim would be 12 inches, according to the biggest machmir, metepch, 3 inches. So if you want to be machmir, and depends whether you're looking for chumra or kulas, if you're looking for a chumra of four tvachim, so then as long as it's within a foot, so you take your ruler, your old-style ruler, as long as it's the bottom of the decoration, doesn't come more than a foot away from the schach, so then it's good no matter what. So then you can pile on as much schach possible as you want, as much schach... bunch of decorations as you want, and everything's going to be good. Yeah.
What's the difference between the wood, like the schach on top, like beams on wood and beams?
Doesn't matter where it's hanging from. It should just be within four tvachim of wood. The schach is.
And how does dope we're saying about how dope is going to affect? It doesn't affect airspace.
Yeah, dope is going. Let's say you have three tvachim of airspace against the wall of a sofa. That's going to be a problem. Okay, so you have to be careful. Let's say some people don't have the schach all the way to the wall. That's not the end of the world. Let's say this is the wall of the sukkah. So I have my poles, and the poles start over here. So that's not so terrible. As long as it's within 3 tvachim. So my poles start over here. So then there's no tziruf. So I just lost my wall. And again, if you have a four wall sukkah, so if you lost one wall, it's not the end of the world. But if you lose two walls, you don't sit anymore. You have to make sure that your schach begins within 3 tvachim of where the walls are. If, for whatever reason, you're low on schach, you don't have enough schach, so then you can put in schach posel over there. Because if you put in schach posel, so then you can invoke the din of dofen akuma, and then, so you have wall, you have schach posel, dofen akuma, and then the kashrus schach starts. But to leave airspace of more than 3 tvachim, you're asking for trouble, because then you no longer have it zero, so there's no connection anymore between the wall and the schach itself.
So you're saying before about the canvas sukkah using the wall behind it as a dough pen. Right. So the other up, like let's say the canvas sukkah stops here and the wall's over here, and there's other in between, that wouldn't be considered dough pen. Like, you have to put up schach posel.
Right, if you have more than 3 tvachim. Right, so yeah, I was lucky because they had a ledge. So the ledge is schach posel.
Okay.
But if it would just be airspace, then it would be a problem. Right? Then you would no longer be able to invoke dough pen.
Don't be concerned about other with bamboo mats, because it's not quite enough.
I don't think so. They're pretty compact together. When one is putting on tzchach, so the Mishnah says you have to make sure that you have more shade than you have sun. Tzilsa meru bechamsa. So that's usually not going to be a problem with that stuff. You just put on a normal mat, or you put on a normal pole, you put one pole next to another pole next to another pole next to another pole, you can have way, way more tzilsa meru bechamsa. Sometimes it's a little bit misleading, because sometimes the way the angle of the sun is, all of a sudden the sukkah lights up, you have so much sun coming in. Yeah, but it's all coming in from the same crack. So that's not a way of being mishah. The only way to mishah, until some comes properly, is that the sun will be coming directly overhead. But it never really comes directly overhead. So it's always ought to be mishah. So the Gemara says, as long as the mice, you take a look, and you see, there's more schach there than their openings. So as long as you take normal bamboo poles and put one next to another, so then you're going to end up with way more than 6 mm. I've yet to see a mat that wasn't silsuber b'chamis. If you have, sometimes people use like the grass and stuff like that. So one stock in a sukkah where close call. I didn't go up there with a tape measure to see. But if you use regular normal schach, so it should usually be okay.
How's that calculated? Like, let's say you had soap that was like 100 amas, and 90 amas were like 95% shade, and 10 amas were like, you know, 30%.
Or a little shvach, right. So the post can have a chumrah that in that area, if you have an area of 7x7, that area is chamsum ritzil, so you may not be able to sit in that area. I mean, there's not going to pass the sukkah because you don't have any real breaks, because every couple of inches you have another piece of wood or something, so you don't have the fourth tvach and the break, or the three tvach, whatever it is, that break up the tziruf. On the other hand, that particular area may be possible. You may not be able to be able to miss a pass. Okay. What? There is a din when you build a sukkah that you have to, cannot be what's called tasalom and also, it means you have to actively, literally, physically build a sukkah. The sukkah can't come into existence by itself. There's all kind of funny scenarios of tasalom and also. The guy's got a big pile of hay, and rather than putting the schach on, so he just digs makes a big hole in the hay, and then lo and behold, hey, you remove the hay, and now, by golly, you got a sukkah there. So that can be a problem of tasalom and also. We very rarely run into those kinds of tassel and osir. The only tassel and osir shah that we sometimes run into is, at least according to some say that you have to build the walls before you build the schach. Because if you put the schach up first, so then the schach is just suspending in air, and now you stick the walls in afterwards. So according to some, that would be a problem of tassel and osir. Not everyone even agrees to that. So that's something to keep in mind when you want to build a kind of kunsum on your wall. So let's say you want to touch up all your chumras on your walls, so try to get your walls up to par before you put the schach on. Otherwise, if you put the schach on first and then there's such as you're running around collecting strings, so then according to some, that would still be a problem with tassel and osir. Again, I didn't say it's possible. Those who are able to should try to, if you're already doing the chumras and making the walls, just try to make the walls that they should be kosher before the schach on. Yeah. So if you have a problem, right? If you have a problem, then you just lift it up and you just have to lift up the whole tzach, every piece of tzach, and try. There is a din when you build the sukkah. It's machlokes b'shabbos. So when we pass it, it's a lo. The sukkah doesn't have to be built by shema. It doesn't even have to be built by somebody who's chayiv in this. It doesn't have to be built by somebody who's Jewish. But the Rishami says that even though the sukkah is technically kosher, lechetchila, you're supposed to tzav lechadish b'dov. You're supposed to do a little bit of something that should be done actually on the Shema. So if a goy builds your sukkah, so lechetchila, you should pick up some of the schach. If there's a real problem, there are isa tassel, and also they have to pick up mamash shibar schach. If it's just this chumah lechetchila mid the rabbanon the Rishami, so then tzav lechadish b'dov, you have to pick up a small amount of the schach. So a lot of particular shuls don't follow this. We have the non-Jewish custodians build the entire sukkah, the walls, the tzach, the half a mitzvah go. And the question is that really should be did? But the evidence is still kosher, but the Rishami says we pass the Shulchan Aruch, tzach lechadish b'davar. So, Rav Moshe Shturmbach writes in the Sefer that he thinks that maybe there's a difference whether the person is working for you or not. When the Rishami says that tzach lechadish b'davar, that means that goy built a sukkah totally on his own. He's building a sukkah because he wants to have a place to sit and relax in his backyard. And now I want to move in on sukkahs and ask him, can I eat in this sukkah? So then lechadchila tzach lechadish b'davar. But if I'm hiring the goy, that's his job. He's the kind of, he works for the shul, but he knows the after Yom Kippur he's going to start building the sukkah. So maybe that's good enough, even though normally there's no shtickles for a goy. Maybe he's got polk, yad balabayas, a lot of lumdas. So maybe for this din of tzach lechadish b'davar, maybe that would be good enough. I think that's what probably all the shuls rely on, whether they heard the Sefer Shturmbach or not, they assume that it's not necessary. I remember several years ago, so I was wondering when they were building the sukkah here on the corner, on the block. So when the non-Jews were putting up the entire sukkah, I was wondering would anybody actually take care of the Chatzchil Bim Chadish B'davar. So I was informed by one of the Jewish workers here that he goes out of his way and he picks up some of the schach and he does the Chadish B'davar. So we should know the sukkah here is kosh lechadchilah shlechadchilah, even according to the shops. We built the perfect sukkah on the corner of 185th. Okay.
Any small part of this lifting up is enough.
Rishami says, how much the Rishami says you have to pick up either a tefach by tefach or a ketel hachakul. Rishami gives a psashir. So you pick up one mat, so that's for sure good. You pick up a couple of bowls, that should for sure be good. Again, the whole thing is only lechadchilah anyway. once a person built a beautiful kosher sukkah, can he do anything that could ruin the sukkah? Yeah, if he knocks down schach, knocks down walls, that could ruin the sukkah. Anything else that could potentially throw up the question, the kashas in the sukkah? So the Gemara says at the end of a sukkah, that one is supposed to be careful not to put dirty things in the sukkah, things that would normally not be brought into your living room, are not supposed to be brought to the sukkah. That's where we have dirty pots. Pots in general shouldn't be brought into the sukkah. You shouldn't have garbage cans in the sukkah, things of that nature. If you do, when you brought something that Shaloka did into the sukkah, would that disqualify the sukkah b'di'evid? So that's a shema. So we usually assume that now. We usually assume the b'di'evid, whatever you did, but b'di'evid the sukkah is still kosher. There's one opinion tells you, and maybe the whole sukkah is possible with the rabbanim. So the minig is not to be machmir for that. Especially you go to these communal sukkahs, so you know you go to a sukkah in the Six Flags or something, so there's a lot of garbage that's collecting in the sukkah, and you wouldn't want that in your own living room. We assume that whoever brought in the garbage didn't throw it out, a stack of shlokit in, but the b'di'evid, we assume the sukkah is still kshayim. So we spoke a lot about the kashas of the sukkah in terms of different yidurim and chumras and things, but an important thing that one should try to remember, one is able to, is to participate in the mitzvah of asiyas sukkah, being in a sukkah. There is a machlekes rishonim, whether the building of a sukkah is actually a mitzvah or not. Yeshiva b'sukkah is a shua mitzvah. A binyan, a siyas ha-sukkah, is what we usually call a heksha mitzvah, but it's a heksha mitzvah kosa b'toyer. It's a heksha mitzvah that appears in the Chumash itself. Because the Torah says, chad b'sukkah is tasa l'cha, so tasa is a loshen achiva, or a loshen asiyah, I'm sorry, so that's the Gemara learns abinim, tasa l'mer asoy. So the Torah, it's not like, let's say, shofar. Shofar, the Torah doesn't say, make sure to cut off the horn off the ram. You gotta get the horn off a ram, but the Torah doesn't tell you how to do it. So I don't have to do it myself. Again, a goy can do it for me. There's no mitzvah l'chadchila to make my own shofar. But when it comes to building a sukkah, so it's a claim to put the shiltas to make your rashi. There's some Rishonim seem to say that there's a mitzvah l'chadchila to do the asiyas ha-sukkah. Tziv points out there are a couple of machshira mitzvahs in the Torah. One of them is asiyas ha-sukkah. One of them is asiyas ha-tzitzis. Also tasa l'cha, kanfas k'suscha. One of them may be getting married, went to the rush. It's also a heksher mitzvah, possibly a kosher b'torah. So you have a few different heksher mitzvahs, haksuvim b'torah, so we apply the rule of mitzvah bo yasuv b'shulucho. So therefore, the chatchila, once you try to participate in the building of the sukkah. The pasha says is that it's enough to participate in the putting up of the schach. The walls are not really necessary. You need walls, but the walls are not the actual asiyas haschach. The dinim of chayim haksuvim goes tas l'cho, the other one going from the glech is really going on the schach. That's how I was making yesterday, because usually the kids from the shul like to come, they get like chesed points or something, so they want to help build the rabbi's sukkah. So we're always the recipient, and if people want to help, we're always happy to be helped. Usually I'm around when they do it, but the only day they were able to do it was yesterday. I had to say shir here, so saying shir is a real mitzvah, there I said. Don't do the sukkah, the wall is amazing here, the sukkah. So I told them, okay, you can put up the walls, but wait for the schach. When I got, I'll throw the schach on myself. So at least I can chaper around the mitzvah of chagasukos tasa lechos. Everyone should try. When you go home, you have a chance. You try to participate a little bit in the mitzvah of building the sukkos. Okay, any last questions about? Okay, hopefully everyone can build a perfect sukkah. Nope. You don't have to make it perfect. We try our best. We try to do our best. And that's it, because you know, a lot of things we spoke about, Hidurim and Chumras, and everything does not own job. If you come home and not every loved string is at the end of the world, sukkah still kosher.
Tying schach.
What?
Tying the schach to the sukkah?
That's a shalav mamid. That's the problem with mamid. So if you make a mamid, you can make on that. So some try to tie it down with something that's kosher the schach itself. That would be the better. Or we throw a beam or something on top of the schach. We used to always throw beams on top of the schach, and then one year we didn't throw nothing after the schach. We got lazy. Nothing ever happens. Hope for the best. If you use the mess, something they tend to fold. They fold over in the wind. If you use the old style beam, nothing happens.
Ruach Mesuya.
What was it?
Something that comes every day, every week, twice a year.
I don't know.
Today's very windy. Is that in Sweden?
I don't know where you're drawing.
Below in Osui, I have a tree above, and I cut the branches later.
So we assume the Ramah Paschas, that's okay. The Ramah Paschas, that's all right, because you're not really doing anything to the Kuf HaSchach. So that's just a Dove in Achutz, that's okay. The Schach was basically kosher. The Schach was kosher, just it was a Dove Ramoneh in Achutz, that's not cool.
Their strings connect all the way. So that problem is
so the better ones have natural strength.